Turn with me to the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Song of Solomon. Chapter 2. It is an amazing thought to the believer that Almighty God, He who spoke this world into existence, who sustains all things by the word of His power, who orders every single solitary thing, event, nothing happens except by the express permission, power, and direction of Almighty God. We cannot possibly perceive the power that orders everything, all things work together for good. I'm talking about every single solitary thing. We would be lost in the wonder of that thought if we perceived. Why did that wind blow? Why did that tree fall? Everything. And to imagine that God Almighty, indescribably holy, just, merciful, that God Himself is pleased to intimately meet with His people. And I'm not talking about, I do mean that as we meet collectively here, we're here tonight by God's grace to be able to come together. There is no way of understanding the blessing eternity will set forth, the blessing of this evening, of being able to meet together to hear His Word and to believe it by His grace, power to believe it. We meet collectively together, but every believer this evening meets with Him individually. There is a fellowship right now that is taking place between the Lord God Himself and His people. And He has revealed something of Himself to His own, and He has revealed something to each of them concerning themselves. They know something. In the second chapter of Song of Solomon, the spiritual conversation continues between the Lord and His bride. And the believer, as they hear this conversation, they're looking, I understand, they're looking and they're hearing words that are written on a piece of paper. But miraculously, these words, blessed by the Spirit of God concerning Him, are life. They're life. They hear them. They penetrate their soul. And they fellowship. The honesty of the new heart settles a believer. They want to hear that which they know is so. And he knows something. The believer does know something of his weakness and finds joy being free, honestly free, to be able to speak within his heart to the Lord Himself. As a child of God, there's some things that he knows that are so. He knows, based on revelation by the Spirit of God to his heart, he knows that Almighty God has chosen to set his affection on him. He knows it. He knows that the Lord will never leave him, never forsake him. He knows that. He knows that he orders his steps by providence. He does that for his honor and glory, and he does it for the good of that believer. Therefore, knowing something of his greatness and my need of him, the believer calls on him in his heart right now. You that believe, call on him. They call on him. You've called on him, you call on him. You've come and you come. You have come and you come. You, by his grace, you shall come. My sheep, they hear my voice. They come to me. Continually come to him. And the believer needs some encouragement. They need to be encouraged. Every time they sit and hear a message concerning their Lord, they're there for comfort. Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Comfort them. In that first verse, the Scripture says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. I know that this world is not my home. Now you that believe, you know that. You know. You know that this life is but a vapor. You know that. You know that life is fading. You know that. I am the rose of Sharon. Now, as I read that, my immediate thoughts on that verse of Scripture was this. That's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. That was my first, that's the first thing I thought. That's Him. Without a doubt, I can see how the Lord is the rose of Sharon. That phrase, the rose of Sharon, is literally translated in the Greek, the flower of the field. That's what it means, the flower of the field. That is that which grows without man's labor. That which has heaven as its father and earth as its mother. Truly a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, who was made flesh, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. That means the whiteness of the low places. I can see in that description right there a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ who came in the likeness of sinful flesh, who came as a root out of dry ground, who came and in Him we saw no beauty that we would behold Him. But man by nature sees no beauty in Him. I understand that. And I have absolutely full assurance that Scripture, for I know that all Scripture is concerning Him. I know that. These are they, He said, that speak of Me. But I'll tell you this, in light of Him and seeing Him as the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys, I can also see the bride described as the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys, as she cries for encouragement to Him who alone is her encouragement. That statement right there can speak of her in just being honest with Him concerning who she is in herself. Remember, the literal translation of that is the flower of the field, the rose of Sharon, flower of the field, and the whiteness of the low places, the lily of the valleys. Here the bride acknowledges herself in this life as a fading thing. The rose of Sharon, flower of the field. Psalms 103:15 says, "As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more." She said, "I'm the rose of Sharon. I'm just flower of the field." Isaiah 40, verse 6, the voice said, "Cry," and he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass." The bride admits that in herself, she said, "I'm just a fading thing. In me, I'm black." That's what she said. From the very beginning, I'm black. In myself, I'm black, but comely in Him. Mephibosheth, when brought to the table of David for the sake of Jonathan, said to David, "Why would you show mercy to a dead dog as I?" Is that not the voice of the believer? "Why, but for your grace, would you show mercy to me? Why would you look upon me in favor? How thankful I am that you saw fit, that you chose. Lord, you left me to myself, and I would have been just happy as a lark, just going as I go, not even mattering, thinking myself be something when I was nothing. I'm the rose of Sharon, just flower of the field." Job said, "Behold, I'm vile. What shall I answer thee? Who am I? Who am I?" I'm here tonight by God's grace. Standing here by God's grace, who's sufficient for these things. This is a true description of the believer, one that sees himself as just a passing thing in this life. One of the field, ready to be trodden down, often accounted as sheep, as the Lord Jesus Christ was, for the slaughter. Truly the poor of this world, no doubt, rose of Sharon, lily of the valleys, just the whiteness of the low places. But hath God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifted the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes. The bride admits seeing something of her personal unworthiness. "I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys." But I want you to look at the second verse. The Lord is here speaking without a doubt. And that's why I can readily see the bride speaking in the first verse. Because as the Lord says in the second verse where she said, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys, the Lord says in the second verse, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. She said, I'm the flower of the field, flower that's fading. Whiteness by His imputed righteousness in the valleys. He said, yes, that's true. That's true. The lily. But He said, you're the lily among thorns. Believers are lilies to their beauty of His righteousness imputed to them. They are beautiful in Him and Him alone. Matthew 6, 28 and 29 says this, consider the lilies of the field. Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If I read that entire passage, it says they spend not, neither do they reap. But Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed. To what would we liken being arrayed in the beauty of His righteousness? Solomon, the wisest, wealthiest, was never arrayed like one of these. I'm just a flower of the field, just a lily of the valley, is true. The Lord says, you are lily, lily among thorns. The believer is beautiful in the Lord Jesus Christ. We worship Him. Psalm 29:2 says we worship Him beautifully in the beauty of holiness. Made so, made righteous, considered to be righteous. Let me say it like that. Considered, declared righteous by His righteousness. Believer is adorned with the graces of His Spirit. Love, joy, and peace. The believer, as a white lily, is pure as He is pure. Having purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. The believer is considered to be a lily as to their fragrance. You're a lily. That's what the Lord says. She said, I'm a lily of the field, lily of the valleys. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. We're a sweet savor of Christ. What does that mean? Believers manifest the fragrance of Christ. He is always a sweet savor to the Father, without a doubt. He is. Whether that savor perceived by the regenerate unto God's grace and mercy and salvation, or that savor is unto damnation and judgment. God is a just God. Just to those that perish. Christ is a sweet savor. As the lily among thorns, 2 Samuel speaks of this word thorns as the sons of Belial. Sons of Belial that shall be thrust away. He said, so is my love among the daughters. I am the rose of Sharon, flower of the field, fading. Just a flower. Here. Here today, gone today. Lily of the valleys, the Lord says yes. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. God's lilies are among the thorns, the wheat among the tares, wise virgins among the foolish virgins, sheep among wolves. We're in this world, but the Lord Jesus Christ, in praying to His Father, said they're in it, but they're not of it. Here we're advised to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. He said, you lilies among the thorns. And to the believer, the Lord Jesus Christ is all. Verse 3 says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my love, or my beloved, among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste, as the apple among the trees. I see him. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I can see him in all things. I was driving down the road one day. I happened to be going on the Natchez Trace. And it was just that time of year when the dogwood trees were in full bloom. You know how easy it is to spot a dogwood tree? I mean, when the dogwood tree is starting to bloom, I mean, nothing else is. And I mean, just going down, and all of a sudden, I just looked off. And I mean, there it was. Beautiful. Just beautiful dogwood tree. There it is. There it is. I can see it. Spotted it. Just like that. No doubt about it. The bride says, as the apple tree among the trees of the woods. There he is. I see him. I see him in all things. Behold, John the Baptist says, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The believer sees him, beholds him in all things. It's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good. The believer sees him in the midst of all. He knows things come about. And Romans 8:28 comes back to the believer's mind. All things work together. You get a phone call. Somebody tells you something. Something that's not as pleasant to the flesh as you'd think. And the Scripture comes back to our minds. We hear him. As the apple tree among all the trees of the woods. That's what she says. This apple tree that's spoken of here was actually, it was a very large tree. It was called a citron apple tree. That's what I found out about it. It was a large, beautiful tree. Now, I know that the world sees no beauty in him, but let me ask you this, you that believe, is he not beautiful to you? You that believe, is he not precious to you? You think, just begin to think, that which he, in covenant mercy and grace, has done. This tree always bore fruit. Citron apple tree always bears fruit. Does he not? Excellent remedy this tree is against poison. And here we see the greatness of his person, the virtue of his blood, which is God's sovereign covering against the poison of sin to his elect. Hosea 14:8 says, from me is thy fruit found. The believer says, I sat down under his shadow with great delight. I sat down. The reason I sat down is because he gave me a heart to do so. Leave me to myself, and I wouldn't do it. By effectual call, he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. And the Spirit of God took those words and said, you're thirsty. And the believer says, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. I sat down. Psalm 91:1 and 2, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress. I sat down and rested spiritually. You sat down. A person could be sitting in this room right now and not rest in him. But God's people do. They rest. This is to say, I trust him. Trust Him in this life and trust Him in His guidance, His providence, His mercy, and in that life to come. Sat down under His shadow. I come under the shadow of Him for defense. As a sinner, apart from Him, I know something of my exposure to wrath. A believer knows something about what it is to not know Him. They know what it is to know Him because they know something of what it was to not know Him. Oh, I must be found cleft of the rock. Keep me, Psalm 17:8 says, as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of Your wings. The believer said, I sat down under the shadow, under His shadow, with great delight. And David said, keep me as the apple of Your eye. I've heard that before. Apple of the eye. I didn't know what it meant. So I had to look it up. It means the pupil. The pupil. The sinner. What the believer says is, look on me. Lord, look on me. Look on me and Your Son. Consider me. View me. Don't leave me. Look at me. Keep me as the apple of Your eye. Hide me under the shadow of Your wings. The shadow. Walking down the road one day and I saw a big shadow of an airplane just went right there. I just saw it. Big, you know, I looked up. Couldn't see it at first. Then I found it. Then I saw it. The proof that that airplane was there is I saw its shadow. I saw it. Saw the shadow go by. That shadow. Oh, the shadow of His wing. His providential dealings with me. He proves it's Him. I know it is. And His fruit, the Scripture says, was sweet to my taste. I sat down under the shadow with great delight, and His fruit was sweet to my taste. Fruit. His fruit. His fruit. His fruit was sweet to my taste. That which He produces. That which He has produced for His people. By and through His obedience and sufferings. His fruit. His fruit was sweet to my taste. He gave me a palate for it. He gave me a taste for it. Peace with God Almighty through Him. Pardon from our iniquities. Redemption through His blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. His fruit was sweet to me, but that fruit, for it to be sweet to me, is appropriated to me. For something to taste good to me, I've got to eat it. I've got to taste it. How can I taste of it? How do I taste it? How do I taste of His fruit? This spiritual language. This is God speaks to His people spiritually. Turn with me to Psalms 19. Psalm 19, verse 7. Psalm 19:7. I taste and eat by faith. As His Word is set forth, I eat of Him. I taste of Him. The Lord said, taste, eat of Me. Eat of Me. How does a believer do that? In His Word, by faith. Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. God speaks to His people through His Word, and they eat Back in the bride said, I sat down under the shadow, under His shadow, with great delight, under His protection, under His wing, under His guidance, under His providence, under His domain. I sat down with great delight, and His fruit was sweet to my taste. The taste of a believer is a result of his regeneration. The impartation of new life, divine life. They have a taste for Christ. The Spirit of God creates a taste that detests sin and rebellion against Him. Job said, I loathe myself. I loathe myself. Paul said, O wretched man that I am. And he creates, the Holy Ghost does, a desire for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they do taste. And they see that the Lord is good. There are some things that are learned by experience. I don't know something tastes good unless I taste it. And Almighty God teaches and reveals and shows through His Word, through His testimonies, through His speaking to His people, through His Word, blessed by the Spirit of God, they taste Him. Set under the wing, under His wing, under His shadow, and His fruits sweet to my taste. I tasted of Him. Our Father, this evening we thank You that You've been pleased to allow us to come and just behold by Your Word, through Your Word, blessed by Your Spirit, the language of love between the Lord Jesus Christ and His bride, and how she speaks to Him respectfully because He's spoken to her first and revealed Himself. Lord, how we thank You for Your goodness and mercy to us. How we thank You for the revelation of Yourself. We ask You, teach us as we come, as we sit. Teach us. We confess before You. We realize we're just flowers of the field, lilies of the valleys. But Lord, You said, lilies true, but lilies that are loved by You. For Christ's sake, we thank You. Amen. Okay, Pat, won't you come lead us?
Let's stand and sing hymn number 50.